tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing today? I'll tell you, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood, isn't it? Listen, today is Flag Day, and actually after the show today, I'm going to go down with a group of other people, and we're going to be standing in front of this courthouse in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and we're going to be wagging flags. And or holding flags, I guess. I don't know. Do you wag a flag? That doesn't make much sense, does it? But anyway, we're going to be holding our flags in support of what the flag of the United States of America stands for. And, you know, last week when it was Memorial Day, I was looking at Google, and it's just, you know, it makes me very sad, really, to see what's happening in this country. It truly does, with these people who have prospered because they were born in this country, because they had the opportunity to come to this country. But the people at Google, their only acknowledgement that it was Memorial Day was a little tiny flag, about a little tiny ribbon, actually, about the size of half of your fingernail, right below the search bar on Google. That was their only acknowledgement of Memorial Day. And those people, truly, they are, they really should be ashamed of themselves, but it's apparent to me that they lack a conscience. I truly believe that, because I think if you have a conscience, your conscience is what drives you to examine right or wrong and to choose right over wrong. And although we do make mistakes in life, we are human, but it is apparent to me, because I see this consistently, that they refuse to acknowledge so many of the wonderful things about this country. In fact, I think they did a little on Veterans Day, and they'll do even less on July 4th, Independence Day. That's a guaranteed fact. And they do everything to diminish, ignore, denigrate all of the great things, all the great achievements, all of what America stands for. And it's a shame. And but I'm glad that there are patriotic people out there who recognize what America stands for. And we're more than happy to stand up and make sure that these people who choose to ignore what America stands for, well, they will recognize that there are more of us than there are of them, and we're going to stand up and support our country and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, because they are our founding documents, and we're going to stand up for them. That's as simple as that. We know right from wrong, and these people apparently, they do not. It's not apparent, it's obvious. Obviously, they do not. They are making a concerted decision not to acknowledge the greatness of this country. And hey, we're just not going to stand up for it anymore. We're going to stand up, and guess what? We're going to shout louder than them. Listen, if you want to call into this show today, the telephone number is 716-213-6816. 716-213-6816 is the number. And if you want to get in contact with me, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And listen, lots of great information on my website, so go there, check out the tab entitled Dark Future, UN Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, and lots of great information there, and a lot of great information under the other tabs as well, things that you need to be aware of. Listen, a podcast of this show will be up on my website not too long afterwards, and it's in MP3 format, so if you want to download it, you can do that, or if you just want to listen to it online in case you missed it, you can do that as well. Listen, I have another great guest today, and he's the same guest I've had for the last couple of weeks, because we're going to be talking about the Constitution and related documents, and because, you know what, we need to know about the Constitution and all the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and what our true history is, not the history that we have been brainwashed with or indoctrinated with by our educational system that had been taken over by communists decades ago, and these globalists who are pushing an agenda far different from what the founding fathers had envisioned for this country. And I want to mention a couple things. Listen, my website, if you like the way it looks, I have a buddy who did my website for me. GlobalEdge.net is her website. She's a computer whiz, so if you need computer stuff, you not want a website or something built, get in contact with her. GlobalEdge.net is her website, and she does great work, and she's very fastidious. So that's what you want, somebody who notices the all the T's that need to be crossed and the I's that need to be dotted. So please get in contact with her. And listen, now I am actually, I'm on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on KHNC 1360, which is a station out of Colorado. And I am also, but I'm not sure yet of the start date, sometime within the next couple of weeks. We've got to work out the details. I will be beginning on Republic Broadcasting Network 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And that will be at, well, it'll be at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Central Time. And so I'm not, you know, we haven't worked out all, we haven't fine-tuned the whole thing yet, but that's going to be happening in a couple of weeks. So, listen, more opportunity to bring the truth to people, and you need to hear the truth because the truth will set you free. And I want to welcome, and we're going to be going to break, where are we going to break? In a couple of minutes, but I got time to bring on William Taylor Ryle. Right, Ryle? Right, Mr. Ryle, is it right? I got it, by George. She has finally got it, right, Bill?
you got it right, Maggie. It's good to be with you again today.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great, and I am looking forward to the celebration of Flag Day. Actually, Flag Day is on the 14th, which is Tuesday. But this,
the group
here in Chester County has chosen Sunday afternoon, since more people will be available. At the courthouse in Chester County, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, you know, I honestly, Bill, and that's terrible because I really didn't know if Flag Day was today or not. But anyway, we're celebrating it, so we're close. We're close enough, and at least we're acknowledging it, and that's what's important.
It is great. Yes.
You know, I wanted to. You know, we've been talking about the Constitution the last couple of times you were on the show, and you know as well as I do, Bill, most people have no idea what the founding documents were designed to be able to allow them to, I want to say do, and maybe that's not the right word, allow them to be. Maybe to be is a better thing. But, you know, you and I saw each other Friday night, and there was one thing I wanted you to talk about, if you would, briefly. Because was the War Powers Act. We were talking about, you know, war and all that stuff Friday night. And you had mentioned something about the War Powers Act. Could you go into that a little bit, Bill?
Sure. That's where we left off last Sunday, actually.
Oh, wow.
And so very timely. First of all, the Constitution gives Congress and only Congress the right to declare war. And the framers knew that to give that to the president or to a monarch, as in history, the king would always start a war in order to advance his own position or enrich his coffers. And the framers had experienced that, with King George III in Parliament from England, and they didn't want to have the executive branch or the president have that power, because presidents or kings tend to, as I say, declare war for their own purpose. So, unfortunately, since the war between the states and the so-called 14th Amendment, as we've discussed, the government has changed significantly. And you can look at the wars that we've had since the war between the states and see that there's something totally different. Presidents have assumed upon themselves many powers that they have not any authority to exercise under the Constitution. Lincoln actually prosecuted the war between the states unconstitutionally. He declared war on April 15, 1861. He issued money. He suspended writ habeas corpus. He, in essence, was a dictator at the time. And, in fact, after the war was started, he went to Congress, and they forgave him for what he had done and, in fact, gave him those powers by saying whatever he had done before and whatever he will do hereafter are hereby confirmed and approved. So Congress, in essence, extricated itself from any responsibility of what the president was doing. Well, Franklin Delano Roosevelt did the same thing. And, in fact, in his inaugural speech on March the 4th, of 1933, he made the same quote, actually, that Lincoln had done. But his primary quote that gives rise to the fact that he was going to declare an emergency was that he said that if the emergency, of course, this was the depression that was going on at the time, frankly, Bill, created.
From the yes. Mm-hmm. Bill, hold that thought, because we're going to go to break. So hold okay. that thought, okay? And we will be back today. In about, I don't know, what are we going to be back? About 2 or 3 minutes, everybody. So hang in there. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie, and I'm joined by Bill Ryle this morning. So we'll be right back. Hang in there.
But all my dreams are slipping away. Paid my dues to Uncle Sam.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at powerofthepursemovie.com. Again, that's powerofthepursemovie.com.
This July 4th, come join patriots from all across the great land in eastern Pennsylvania for Freedom Palooza, a 3-day festival of music and great speakers. Come party with the likes of former Congressman Jim Trafficant, man, they railroaded that guy, Mark and Rose, K.I. Solomon, Freedom the Fascism. You want great rock? We got it. How about the most influential, hardest working band in the movement today, Poker Face? We got the Amaros, Burn the Ball Out, Amp Killer, Doug Hawk, Front to Enemy, The Grunts, Kinetic Blue, Payday Monsanto, Secret System Band, Scrap Metal Bomb, Rebel Inc. Man, that's a lot of bands. Camp out under the stars along the Delaware River, like our founding fathers did before the Battle of Trenton. What else are you gonna do on this 4th of July? Sit around with family members you hate? Listen to your fat uncle tell the same stories he tells every other year? No way, man. I'm going to Freedom Palooza. Go to freedompalooza.com for all the details. Freedompalooza.com.
Are you receiving payments on a private loan? Would you rather have the cash now? If you're getting monthly payments on any type of real estate, promissory note, or private loan, American Finder can help. American Finder are specialists in getting people cash for real estate notes of any kind. It's quick, easy, and 100% secure. American Finder works with investors who are interested in purchasing the note from you or your client so you can have the money you need now. No more worrying about late payments or non-payments any longer. Just like banks buy mortgages, thousands of private investors across the country buy notes from individuals. They collect monthly payments while you get the cash you need. Buyers are standing by now, waiting to make estimates on your note. Appraisals are free, and you are under no obligation on any offer. Get the most from your note before the dollar drops any lower. Contact American Finder today at www.cash4cashflows.com. That's www.cash4cashflows.com.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie. Welcome to this Unsolicited Opinion. And my little buddy here just brought me a second cup of coffee. Isn't he a wonderful man? Yes, he is. So, how you doing, everybody? Listen, I've got Bill Ryle with me again this morning, and we're talking about the Constitution. And before we went to break, we left off with FDR, and I want to give out the phone number real quick for anybody who would like to call into the show this morning. The telephone number is 716-213-6816. 716-213-6816. And if you'd like to call into the show, please do so. If you'd like to get in touch with me, my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com, and send me an email. I always like to hear what people have to say who are listening. So, Bill, when we left off, you were talking about FDR. So start up there, if you would, please.
Yeah, FDR, of course, you may remember that the Federal Reserve had been created in 1913, the 17th Amendment, which eliminated senators being appointed or elected by the legislatures of the states, was converted to being directly elected, which weakened the Senate tremendously and did away with a lot of authority from the states. So So it's pretty well set up, and Wilson and the people know about that history, perhaps. But FDR was the governor of New York. He clearly knew what was going on with the Federal Reserve. And it, what had happened is we had the Depression, and Hoover, who was the president before FDR, discovered that the Federal Reserve had sent the gold over to Europe to try to save the crash that was going on in Europe, sent a lot of money to the Vatican and also to Russia. And so he was very upset. And, of course, the Federal Reserve was managing that, and he had to go. And FDR was selected and became president. And in his inaugural speech, he said that if the emergency continued, that he would invoke a power as great as if we'd been invaded by a foreign foe. Now, that was on March the 4th, 1933. Now, that power that he was referring to was the war powers or emergency powers. And so he waited 2 days. He closed the banks on March the 6th, and you can get on the internet and type in banking holiday, and you'll see that that's what they did. And then on March the 9th, they opened the banks, having already distributed the Federal Reserve notes, which were not redeemable in lawful money, but were payment for debt, both public and private. It's the same inscription that's on the Federal Reserve note today. And the Federal Reserve note is not money. They didn't change the Constitution, which declares that only gold and silver coin can be used for payment and debt. They just simply did it. And they did it based on the recommendations of the Federal Reserve. In fact, I have a report that was written by an attorney who works for the Federal Reserve. His name is Dr. Walter F. Todd. And the title of his paper is From Constitutional Republic to Corporate State, the Federal Reserve Board, 1931 to 1934. I don't know whether that's online. You may ask that. I did, in fact, I actually find out that that training manual that I mentioned last week, it was from the War Department, is online, and I will be sending that to you, Magna. You can post that on the internet. But there's several sources for that document that is online. I'm not sure whether this one is online, but I'll find out, and we'll talk about that later, or we'll just simply post it. But FDR was put in government in order, you know, to be the president, in order to bring about the solution to the Depression, which had been created. And so they took the lawful money out of circulation, and the act that opened the banks was the Emergency Banking Act of 1933, March the 9th, 1933. That had been pushed through Congress without much discussion, which often happens. And was directed by the Federal Reserve. In fact, the Federal Reserve authored much of that act. And as we said last week, part of that act was to incorporate the Trading with the Enemies Act of October 6, 1917. Now, that act was done during Wilson's administration, and it was enacted by Congress to prevent people from sending money to Germany, primarily. But okay. Enemies of the United States. And that's reasonable. And in that act, the citizens of the United States were excluded from that act. But in the provisions that's incorporated in the Emergency Banking Act, the exclusion was eliminated. So as of March the 9th, 1933, the passing of this bill, relative to at least financial transactions, a citizen of the United States is considered to be an enemy of the United States. Now, if you doubt that, I would encourage everybody to get on the internet and type in War and Emergency Powers, comma, 1933. That's one way of getting there. And start reading down through the list. And there's a number of interesting documents. An organization that did a lot of work on this subject in the 70s and 80s was the American Agricultural Movement from Colorado Springs, Colorado. And the head of that group was Dr. Gene Schroeder. And they wrote a book and did DVDs, VHF tapes, and saw all sorts of things to help people understand it. I don't know that that book is available, but it's titled War and Emergency Powers. And you can see Dr. Schroeder talk about the War and Emergency Powers on that listing. If you go down the list, if you type in the War and Emergency Powers 1933, that's one of the entries. And you can watch DVDs and read documents. In fact, you can read the entire book online, I believe. And so one of the things that he mentions, and also you can find on the internet, is a Senate report that was done in 1973. Congress was trying to get some power back from the president, because in 1933, Congress abdicated pretty much all its powers, just like they'd done to Lincoln. In fact, they said the same thing. Everything that the president has done here before and here will do hereafter is hereby confirmed and approved. So that's pretty obvious that the president didn't have to go to Congress after that. If whatever he wanted to do, he had already been approved. Now, they go through the motions, but in reality, no president since 1933 has given up that authority. And in 1973, the Congress was trying to get some of it back, and in fact, they did. And they did this report in 1973, and that number on that report, again, if you look down that list, after you type in War and Emergency Powers 1933, you will see Senate Report 93-549. Senate Report 93-549. And that was done in 1973, and what Congress was trying to do was get some of its powers back. And isn't it interesting, today on the news, periodically, they talk about the War Powers of 1973. Have you heard that, Maggie, and lately?
Well, I've heard that, but I, you know, didn't really hone in on it, Bill. So, yes, I've heard that, but, you know, that was just, just like I had heard sustainable development in those terms and never honed in on them until of recent as well, so.
Right. Well, so once you read this, and this report starts out by saying, on November 19, 1973, a special committee of termination of the national emergency presented a report, that report 93-549, and you'll see this on the Internet. And it starts out by saying, since March the 9th, 1933, the United States has been in a state of declared national emergency. Now, I don't know how many people know that, but that's the case.
Hang on, because we're going to break again. So hold that thought, and we will be back in a couple minutes, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie Rodden, and we will be right back in about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes. So hang in there, everybody.
Free speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen. Small fires are cropping up in New Mexico, spawned by the massive wildfire in neighboring Arizona. But the smoke is even worse. It already stretches as far east as central New Mexico. Health officials are warning that it could create respiratory problems all the way to Albuquerque. The reconciliation effort between Palestinian factions in Gaza and the West Bank have not been making much progress. The Hamas militant group today rejected the nominee for Fatah for prime minister. A Tennessee man has received the death penalty after being convicted of murdering the mother of his three children. The jury reached its decision just after 2 hours last night in the case against the 33-year-old Memphis man. The man's 15-year-old daughter testified that she saw her father stab and strangle her mother. I'm Ron Allen.
News reports say that the price of gas in the U.S. may go up to $4 or more a gallon by summer. That's pretty scary news for the family budget. But when you consider that many parents in third world countries don't even know what they're going to feed their children tomorrow, it takes on a different perspective. Now there's a way to help solve both problems. Get on your computer and go to usagoodness.com to get information on how you could start a home business to earn extra money in your spare time while providing food for starving children. You will feel great earning extra money to help the family budget, but you'll feel even better knowing that your work is actually saving lives. Some go to usagoodness.com to earn extra money. Others have made it a full-time income. You've always wanted to do something good with your life. Now, you can earn money for your family and provide meals for hungry children at the same time. If you need extra money or want to replace your job with your own home business, go to usagoodness.com or call toll-free 800-301-6177. That's 800-301-6177.
Hey, it's Popeye from FederalJack.com. Don't miss my show, Down the Rabbit Hole, Wednesday and Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you'd like to call into this show today, 716-213-6816, 716-213-6816 is the number. And if you want to get in contact with me, my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And if you like the way my website looks and you'd like one just like it or one of your own with, hey, a little different variation, then you can go to globaledge.net. That is my friend who actually redid my website for me a couple months ago, and I'm just thrilled with it because it's so easy to put stuff up there and that, and I'm not a real sophisticated person when it comes to all this technological stuff. So the easier the better for me, or the simpler the better, I should say, when it comes to that stuff. I'm talking this morning with Bill Ryle, and pick up where you left off before we went to break, Bill, please.
Well, we're talking about the Emergency Banking Act of March the 9th, 1933. And, of course, people may remember that there was a depression and there was this dire circumstance created. And, of course, governments do that to create a situation and rush in with a solution. And one of the things they did was, as I said, close the banks, all the banks, on March the 6th, 1933. It was interesting that FDR had 37 of the governors meet with him on March the 3rd, and they apparently made a deal, because on the night of the March the 3rd, this report that I was talking about from Constitutional Republic to Corporate State, which, by the way, was written in October 1995, mentions a discussion that FDR had with Senator Glass. And FDR told Glass that he was going to close the banks. And this was on March the 3rd, before he was president. And Senator Glass said, well, you might be able to close the federal banks, but you can't close the state banks. And FDR's response to that was, I've taken care of that. And the way he took care of it was to get the governors to go along with it, and the states implemented the provisions for emergency closing the banks. And that exists today. Done that research, and the provisions, both state and federal, if the president or the governor declares an emergency and closes the banks instantaneously. And the threshold for an emergency is not very high, obviously. At any rate, so we were talking about, since March the 9th, 1933, this Senate report, 93-547, starts out by saying that we've been in this state of emergency since that date. It goes on and explains that besides the emergency declared by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Truman declared one in 1950, And then Nixon declared one in 1970-1971. And these proclamations, taken together, it says, quote, "These proclamations give force to 470 provisions of federal law. These hundreds of statutes delegate to the president extraordinary powers ordinarily exercised by Congress, which affect the lives of American citizens in a host of all-encompassing manner. This vast range of powers taken together confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to the normal congressional processes." Wow. That's really amazing, isn't it?
It's mind-boggling, Bill. It really does. It is so mind-boggling, and it's so outrageous that this has just continued on. So few people know it, and no one does anything about it, and so it's really a little fiefdom. It's not really a representative republic. It's just a little charade that's being enacted for us. It's being acted out.
Well, it answers the question, though. How can the president and the secretary of treasury do what they do? It's because of the War Powers Act, Emergency War Powers, and the Emergency Banking Act, which was what initiated it, in 1933. The secretary of treasury controls the finances of this country, with the Federal Reserve and that kind of thing. But the bottom line is the treasurer decides where the money goes, not Congress. This is amazing. Anyway, this report continues, and I won't read a lot of it, but it says, "Under the powers delegated by these statutes, the president may seize property, organize and control means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communications, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and in a plethora of particular ways, control the lives of all American citizens."
You know, it's just astounding to me, Bill. It really is astounding to me. Well, you know, did this particular act have a hand in when they incarcerated Japanese Americans during World War II, and did they utilize this as the rationale for being able to do that?
Since the 14th Amendment, the so-called alleged 14th Amendment, the Constitution has been in essence suspended, and it's interesting in the eyes of the government. And in fact, Dr. Schroeder, when he came to Pennsylvania in the 90s, and I spent quite a bit of time with him running around and going to meetings with him, and the American Agricultural Movement conclusion in their documents concludes that the Constitution was suspended in 1933. I contend it was done in 1861, but let's say it was 33. My discussion with Dr. Schroeder was, wait a minute, that is the way the government's operating. It's very clear. But they can't suspend the Constitution. No one can, not lawfully. So everything that they've done under this alleged suspended Constitution, under these emergency powers, which is outside the authority of the Constitution, is unconstitutional, and therefore it's null and void from the time they did it. The interesting part about law, it gets in the way with these crooks, what they're doing. And the Supreme Court has repeatedly made this declaration. Even Hamilton, and I'm not a great fan of Hamilton, in Federalist 78, his paper, he declares that everything that's done outside the Constitution is null and void. And in fact, the judiciary was always supposed to be the weakest of three branches, and we had nothing to fear unless it joined with either of the other two. And in fact, now it's taken over all three. So we are in deep trouble because of what has gone on with the usurpation of power. And this war powers, when people don't know about this and they just sort of brush it off. In fact, when President Bush, again, it doesn't matter who the president is. They're both equally guilty of these kind of things. No Republican or Democrat since 1933, at least. Well, when Bush bombed Baghdad, our current vice president, then Senator Biden, came on one time, and I don't sleep much, so I'm have a TV on, and at about 3 o'clock, he comes on and says that they have, agreed under the War Powers Act that the president had the authority to bomb Baghdad. Now, that was an undeclared war, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As was the Korean War, the Vietnam War, actually, they did, the president did get the Congress to declare the Second World War. But in fact, he'd already been in war long before that. And the United States had been secretly involved in that war long before the Congress declared war. And what we have is usurpation of power, messing around with other countries, and of course they get irritated. And I'm not saying that what other countries do is necessarily right or wrong, but the United States government, the lawful government, don't have any authority to be doing this kind of stuff. No constitutional authority. And now we're engaged in how many wars that are undeclared? In fact, this latest one, Libya? Yeah. Now, that President Obama, well, I won't say he's president, but Mr. Obama has engaged military force, bombed the capital of that country without any authority except the UN and the Arab League, and he's refused even to follow the 1973 requirement of that statute that says that within 60 days he must go and get congressional approval for the funds to continue a war that he started, which he has no authority to do under the Constitution in the first place, unless the United States of America, the country, is invaded or citizens are threatened. In other words, an imminent invasion or an emergency. That's the authority in the Constitution for the commander-in-chief to engage military forces without congressional authority until he can get in touch with the Congress and have them do it. When they wrote the Constitution, of course, communications wasn't too quick, was it?
No.
And Congress was not in session all the time. And so the provision is put in there that actually the president can, on emergency, recall the Congress for these kind of things. Now with the current communications, you're instantaneously in network. Yes.
Hang on. We're
okay.
Going to break again. Another break time. Listen, everybody, you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie Rod, and I'm joined by Bill Ryle this morning, and we will be back in a couple of minutes and continue this very interesting discussion. So hang in there, everybody.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Now you can listen to the Orion Talk Radio Network on your phone, anywhere, anytime, with our Listen by Phone feature. Just call 704-772-7627. 704-772-7627. Then enter the code 10016. That's 10016. All long distance and cell phone charges apply. Powered by UpSnap.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or other issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and I'm joined this morning by Bill Ryle. He is a constitutional scholar, self-taught. He's been studying the Constitution for 21 years, and we were talking about how corrupt our government really is. Huh, Bill, wouldn't you say that about sums it up in 6 or 7 words?
Well, it's not only corrupt, it's unconstitutional. And most of what government does today, and this is at all levels, not just the federal level, is outside the Constitution, and therefore they have no authority. Now, that's a rather brash statement, some might say, but I think if you start examining what those in government do, what the people in government do today, it becomes self-evident once you familiarize yourself with what the Constitution says, state Constitution and the federal Constitution, and how the relation between the two is supposed to be. One of the interesting comments in this report in the early pages, it says that as a philosophical issue, its origin, that's the war and emergency powers, reach back to the Greek city states and the Roman Republic. And in the United States, actions taken by the government in times of great crisis have, from at least the Civil War, in important ways, shaped the present phenomena of a permanent state of national emergency, end quote. When I talk about the war and emergency powers reaching back to Lincoln, this is confirmed by multiple sources of documents. And here's the Senate writing a confirmation statement that the Civil War, the war between the states reality, started the major crisis and shift in our government. And people need to understand that when government operates outside the Constitution, whatever they do is unconstitutional and therefore null and void from the time that they do it. Now the question is, who can declare that? We the people are the sovereigns in this country. We the people can declare it. And we have to act on it, always being responsible for what we do. If we're wrong, then we might be prosecuted. In today's court, you're probably prosecuted anyway, because the Bar Association, the New Era Bar, formed in 1878, is really the driving force of implementing these policies. And if the courts were operating according to the law, it would stop today. And that's really the thrust. People to understand that it is our power. We are the sovereigns. Remember the consent of the governed from the Declaration of Independence? In the Pennsylvania Constitution, it's all powers in the people. And governments are instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness. We have these inherent authorities in this country, unique on the earth, that we the people are the final authorities. And we give our authority to those in government at all levels to exercise our authority according to our document that we gave them, that is the Declaration of Independence, the state constitutions, Pennsylvania being one of the original 13, but all of them the same, then the federal constitution and the Bill of Rights. We are in charge. But unfortunately today, most of the people in government believe they are. And we're supposed to do what we're told, how we're told to do it, when we're told to do it, and all we're supposed to do is just do it. Don't question. And if we question it, we're oftentimes maligned, told that we're terrorists, and so on. This is the only resort that government has when they're operating outside of the law. They lie, and then they use force. And that's unfortunately where we are now, and a lot of people are suffering from it. But in reality, if the people wake up and educate themselves to be able to say with certainty, wait a minute, what is your authority to do this and stand together? We have tremendous opportunity to solve these problems by using the law. And we can do that as long as we start focusing on the fact that we really are entitled by God for freedom and liberty in this country, and in fact all over the world. And the president is not, the emperor. He's not. You may think he is, but he's not. And he acts without authority. These invasions into these countries, like Libya. And now we're told by the Panetta that we're in war with Pakistan. And we're involved in Yemen and all these other countries. We have no authority to be going in there and doing what we're doing. We don't. And we're using the treasures of this country, lives of American people, and cash, which is funny money, but nevertheless, it's indebting, in making the American people allegedly in debt. What is it? Over $100 trillion of actual debt at this point. And we just don't really know.
Bill, you can't count that high anymore, how much we really owe in debt, and how absolutely outrageously out of control and corrupt the system is, and how in debt we are, and the things being done that are unlawful and unconstitutional. You don't have enough fingers and toes to count all the stuff that's being done that's absolutely outrageous. And you're right, Bill, because the key is, I believe, a critical mass of an awakened, enlightened populace who stands together and says, no, you don't have the authority to be able to be doing these different things and assaults on our freedom and liberty as they are doing. But you get, that's why you do your, that's why you go around, you're on my radio show. That's why I do this radio show, to talk about these different things and bring on people who know about different things so that they can help people understand what's really happening. That's why you do the constitutional lectures that you do, Bill. The only way that people are going to understand is if they are enlightened. And this is what I think our roles are, is really just to bring, be an avenue for truth and enlightenment or education or knowledge, whatever you want to call it. All three are the same, really.
All right. And what I say is, look, best advice I got, and this was when I first started, I spent over an hour on the telephone with a fellow in Pensacola. You do a lot. And we talked, and then he said, don't do anything that we talked about unless you understand that, believe in, and are prepared to defend it. And I think that's the best advice I ever got. And so what I would suggest to everybody listening is, don't take what I say as necessarily true. Go check it out. And if you find something that I'm saying that's wrong, let me know. I don't want to be wrong, but I can tell you, I spent 21 years in a very methodical way of researching this. I'm an engineer by education, and I approach things by the scientific method. And if you can't confirm it and repeat it and get multiple sources, probably isn't true. So what we really need to do is really understand and learn who you can trust. But the point is, you have to trust yourself. And until you do that, until you then take action on what we need to do to fix this, it's going to continue. There's a lot of remedies, and that's what we need to talk about, and we'll do that maybe next week, start with the nullification as one of the remedies. But the states accept grants and monies from the federal government, which in fact is a bribe to make the states do what they're supposed, what they're told to do, when in fact they don't have any authority. Or the states then enact statutes that mirror those of the federal government. And so when you go to court and say that the federal government can't do that, well, it's really the state that has implemented it, and then they haven't got authority to do it either, but they do it. And what we, the people, have to do is figure out what these statutes and what the constitutions are saying and what they really mean, and then be able to say with certainty, wait a minute, where's your authority to ask me to do that? And if you have no authority to do it, go away. We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not a revolution. It's, in fact, assertion of the law. And when something is unconstitutional, as I've repeatedly said, it's null and void. So it's not law. So when someone says, well, you're violating the law, well, if it's not a law, you're not violating it. That's, the ones in government are violating the law. They're the outlaws. They are the ones operating outside the law. And we need to start understanding that.
Yeah, really, Bill. They're the new outlaws. If this was a Western with John Wayne or something like that, they would be, they're the new outlaws. We're the in-laws. They're the outlaws, if you want to call it the, you know what I mean.
Well, when someone operates
within the law, and they're outside the law.
When someone operates outside the law, the correct term is outlaw.
Outlaw, exactly.
Right, and that's what they are. Now, when somebody robs a bank, if there were any banks that had real money in them, then that person would be a robber, and he's an outlaw.
Yeah,
well, guess what?
Exactly.
The attorneys and judges, not all of them, but many, and politicians, bankers, worker bankers, are stealing us blind. They're the outlaws.
I know.
And
we need
to go after them.
Yeah. On that note, listen, we've only got about a minute left, so I'm going to say good night, Irene, again, and I think you should come back next Sunday, Bill, and we'll talk about remedies, as you had mentioned, and nullification being one of those. Maybe we'll get to nullification next Sunday. How's that sound, Bill?
That'd be great. Anytime.
Okay. Thanks for coming on. I'll see you shortly. I'll be down there where you're going to be. So thanks for coming on again, Bill. I really appreciate it. William Taylor Ryle, and I'm actually going to put a tab on my website for Bill, so you'll be able to see. We're going to put a lot of the documents that he's been gathering for the last 21 years. We're going to put a lot of them up on my website for him, so you'll be able to have access to that information. Thanks a lot, Bill. See you later. You're welcome. Thank you. Hey, listen, everybody, you know what? TheUnsolicitedOpinion.com is my website. Please go there, look at a lot of this stuff. Hey, you know, I love to go to Oz. Somewhere Over the Rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Keep your chin up. Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, KHNC 1360. You can go to my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com, and find a way to get to my radio show on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Better days are coming. We got people like Bill Ryle fighting for us. Keep your chin up. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Take care, everybody. The sun will come up tomorrow.
You know what Miss Gus said she was going to do to Toto? She says she
now,
was going to...
Now, Dorothy, dear, stop imagining things. You always get yourself into a fret over nothing. Now, you just help us out today and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Some place where there isn't any trouble.
Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto?
There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.
Drops away above the chimney tops. That's where